Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father. From our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Our text is taken from Romans 15, summed up in the last verse. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thus far our text. In Christ Jesus, our blessed Savior, dear Christian friends, hope, joy, peace, words that adorn Christmas ornaments, decorations, and cards this time of year. Hope, joy, peace. Words that summarize the gift that God freely gave us sinners through the one born of the Virgin Mary. We cannot live without hope. The smallest hope sustains a prisoner of war, the patient battling cancer, the family facing marital struggles. When hope is swallowed up by despair, life does not seem worth living anymore. But hope fills us with joy. Joy even in the midst of sorrow and struggle. And joy is deeper than just some fleeting feeling of happiness, because joy springs forth from the wellspring of hope. You see, peace is not the absence of struggle in our lives, but it's a common reality that true hope and joy bring to our hearts and lives. Hope, joy, and peace, Christmas words, Christian words, words that some tie to each candle of the Advent as part of their nightly family devotions. The first candle, some label the prophecy candle, for the prophet's promise in Jesus Messiah filled the world with hope. The third candle, the pink candle, they would label it as a Bethlehem candle because it fills our world with the hope that the shepherds heard, the joy that they had. The fourth candle, the last purple one, they would call the angel's candle. And that candle they would label with the joy or the peace that the angels proclaim. And how about the second candle? They'd call that the Bethlehem candle because their love appeared. See, hope, joy, peace, love. We sing confessing of Jesus that he is love's pure light. Silent night, that doesn't mean that Jesus liked to have a night light by his bed like a lot of us do as we're young, but that he is love's pure light. Jesus is love in our skin, for God is love. Therefore, we rejoice in the gift that God has freely given us in his Son, that you, that I may be his own. God the Holy Spirit, through the pen of St. Paul, teaches us, therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. The congregation at Rome was made up of both Jews and Gentiles, both strong and weak Christians. Philip Melanchthon teaches of the arch enemy of Christ's holy angels in the church in his hymn where we sing, the ancient dragon is their foe. His envy and their wrath they know. It always is his aim and pride, thy Christian people, to divide. Satan cannot allow the church, the local congregation, to possess the gospel in peace. He enlists the world with its perverted values and our fleshly fallen feelings to tear local congregations, to tear families apart. How will we stand? Only in Jesus. Open up your hymnal to page 322, where you'll find the small catechism as part of the prayer book of the church. But page 322 and the right-hand column at the bottom, you'll find the second article. And let's read together the second article. It's labeled Redemption, our buying back. Page 322, right-hand column, bottom of the page. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Well, what does this mean? Let's read just this first paragraph at the bottom of the page. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. Who is Jesus? He is true God. eternally begotten of the Father. There never was a moment when Jesus was not. That's what John reminds us of. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is eternal. From eternity, He is Jesus, living up to His name, the Lord who saves. From eternity, He is the Christ, the Messiah, anointed by God the Father to reconcile sinful mankind by God the Holy Spirit through the forgiveness of sins. That's why Peter would write this about Jesus. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in the last times. Jesus was manifest. He was shown forth in our history in these last times. He became true man, born of the Virgin Mary, in our time and space. He enters our human history by this personal union of His divine and human nature. Jesus takes our humanity into His divinity. He is the one undivided person, true God and true man, and remains so forever. And by that personal union, He seeks to reconcile sinful mankind with the holy God in His own body. Why does He do this? Because He is love. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, Paul would write in Romans 5, in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, God's love for us in Jesus binds us together in our local congregation. We are the very living body of Christ. St. John Chrysostom put it this way, let us obey this command and bind ourselves so closely to one another. For it is no longer just the weak that He's encouraging, but everyone. If someone wants to break relations with you, do not do the same with him. Rather, display even more love toward him, that you may draw him to you. For he is a member of the body. And when a member is cut off, we must do everything we can to unite it again and pay more attention to it. Just like if you're out working, sawing logs, and accidentally cut off your finger, you don't just run away and leave your finger laying there. You pick it up and great care get to the surgeon so he can reattach it. And you take good care of that hand and finger. So also in the body of Christ, Christ's incarnation frees us within our families and our family of our congregation to reconcile with one another. In a large catechism, Luther would say the most important words of the second article in the explanation are these, that Jesus is my Lord, not just a Lord, but He is my Lord. Well, what does that mean? Look at the top of page 323, left-hand column, and let's read what it means to be my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood, with His innocent suffering and death. Jesus, as your Lord, has done all for you. That word Lord means the same as your Redeemer. All too often, American Christians want to separate the Lord from the Savior. They say, well, Jesus is your Savior, but is He your Lord? By asking so, they're trying to make Jesus into another Moses. But that word Lord is the same as Savior. He's our Redeemer. He is the one who brought us back from Satan to God, from death to life, from sin to righteousness. And He preserves us in the same. And this is a promise that God first spoke to Adam when Adam rebelled against God's word and brought us all into sin and death. That messianic promise was repeated to Noah, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Judah, to Jesse, and to David. So Paul writes, now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers. The promise wasn't just to the blood descendants of Abraham. It was meant for all of Adam's descendants, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this reason will you confess you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Gentiles like us. We can glorify God for His mercy in Jesus Christ. We were lost by sin, condemned to eternity in hell by our rebellion. But Jesus has paid my price in full. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature. He has purchased one me from all my sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. What price did He pay? Not gold or silver. Gold and silver cannot save. He gave you his own flesh and blood. That's the price he paid. And that's why here the Spirit says, and again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you as Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles hope. Our joy is not that what we try to do, but it's what God has done for us in the flesh and blood of Jesus, what he continues to do for us in the flesh and blood of Jesus. During Holy Week, certain Greeks came seeking to speak to Jesus. And John, in his 12th chapter of his gospel, tells us, when that word came to Jesus, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. And then he speaks what his glorification would be. He said, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. See, here is his glorification. Here is our salvation for you and for me and for all sinners in this world. His precious holy blood cleanses us from all sins. His innocent suffering and death frees you from Satan's true accusations. And his death forever rescues you from death's fearful maw. This is the only thing that saves. This is the only security we have in life. It's his holy precious blood. And it's in suffering and death. And why did Jesus do all this for me, the rebellious sinner? We'll look at page 323. Let's read the last two paragraphs. Last three. That I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve in him everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Jesus did this all, that you might be his own, that you might belong to him. My stubborn, sinful flesh chafes under the truth that if I don't belong to Jesus, I belong to Satan. See, I want to believe the lie of America, that I am my own self-made individual. It's a lie that would keep me out of Christ's kingdom, his church. Christ has done all to make me his own, to bring me into his kingdom, this church, where under his cross I live. And here I'm spoken alive with water. Here I'm clothed with Jesus' perfect life. And that life, that garment he gives me, never grows old. And here I'm fed, blessed with innocence, because he declares me forgiven, blessed to feast with him at his table. See, my Savior lives. My Lord lives. Death is broken. He rules over all things, even the history of the United States, for my sake. He rules over all things, even the mundane things of my daily life, to keep me in his word and faith. See, my Jesus fills me with hope, with joy, and with peace. Through his cross-proclaimed love. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.